This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Hello, I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We're delighted to have you with us today. And there may be some of you who are watching today for the very first time. And I want to welcome you. There may be many of you who are watching because you watch every time we come on the air, and I want you to know I appreciate your loyalty. Today we're going to be discussing a very controversial topic. At least with some people it's controversial. I'm not sure that it ought to be, but we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Great Commission. And I hope that you'll stay tuned as we talk about that. What, in fact, is baptism, and what does the Bible say about baptism, and who should be baptized? So please stay tuned as we answer some of these questions, or at least discuss these questions today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I want to emphasize that the course is free. We want you to have it in order that you might know more about the course and how to receive the course. Let's pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the 28th chapter of Matthew, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a reading that's sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. Had we time, we could talk about some of the reasons it's called a Great Commission. One of the reasons, of course, is because it's the commission of our Lord that was planned over so many years, about 4,000 years he was planning for the beginning of his kingdom on this earth, and the church, and we call it the Great Commission. The commission that Jesus has given to those of us who are his disciples today. Now, the Great Commission mentions the word baptism. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So, what does that mean? Well, The baptism of the Great Commission is only one of several baptisms that are mentioned in the Bible. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul wrote to the Ephesians that there is one baptism. So by the time Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, these other baptisms were no longer valid. First of all, there's the baptism of Moses in the cloud and in the sea, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 2. Another baptism would be that of John the Baptist. He said, Now the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Every tree therefore that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but the chaff will he burn up with unquenchable fire. So there was unquenchable fire. They were going to be overwhelmed in fire. And so he mentions the baptism of the Holy Spirit here in Matthew chapter 3. And it was on the day of the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit and were able to perform miracles and wonders and signs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, these are referred to as the signs of an apostle. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of suffering. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, in verse 22, Jesus said, "Are you able to endure, to suffer the baptism that I'm to be baptized with?" And they said, "We're enabled." He was talking about the baptism of suffering. So there's the baptism of suffering. There's the holy baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of fire. There's the baptism of John the Baptist and the baptism of Moses. And then by the time Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, there was one baptism. The only one that could have been left was the baptism of the Great Commission. And it talks about that being baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's required in Bible baptism? First of all, it requires water. In Acts the 8th chapter, when Philip was teaching the man from Ethiopia, they were riding along in the man's chariot. He said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" So it took water. In Acts the 10th chapter, verses 47 and 48, that's what Peter was teaching at the house of Cornelius. And he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized. So they took water to baptize the people at the house of Cornelius. But it takes much water. Not just water, but it takes much water. In John the 3rd chapter in verse 23, John was baptizing in the Jordan River because there was much water there. And then you have to come to the water. When Philip was teaching the man from Ethiopia, the Bible says they came unto a certain water. So there must be a coming to the water. There must be a going down into the water. They went down into the water, the text says, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But there must be a coming up out of the water. When they came up out of the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. You see, baptism is a burial in water. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." So baptism is a burial in water. And baptism is an immersion. The word baptize is actually a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo, which means to plunge, to dip, to plunge or to immerse. He talked about dipping or sprinkling water, it would have been a different word. It ran tizo. And so we're to be baptized, and it requires water. But someone may ask, "Brother Lambert, can you tell me why people should be baptized?" Well, let me tell you all, first of all, why they should not. It is not because it is the teaching of the Church of Christ. You see, that's not what's important. The thing that is important is not what does the Church of Christ believe, what does the Church of Christ teach, but it is what does Jesus say and what does Jesus teach. We're not to be baptized because there's power in the water. There's no power in the water. There's no such thing as holy water, power in the water. Water's just water. And so it's not because of that. And it's not because baptism is the only thing that saves us. Baptism must be preceded by faith in Christ, repentance of sin, and confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to be baptized because it is a meritorious act that will merit salvation. Baptism is not a meritorious act, and we're not saved by meritorious act. In Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's not enough good things that you could do, that I could ever do, to put God in debt to us so that God would owe me salvation. God doesn't owe me one single thing. Nothing does God owe me. And anything that I receive from God is a gift of God's grace. And I could not be saved without a gracious, loving Father. God is the one who loves us. And then we're to be baptized for several reasons. And I want to mention those reasons why we're to be baptized. First of all, we're to be baptized because it is the command of God. And if there was no other reason, other than that one, wouldn't that be enough? Listen to him. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing whom? The people you teach. And then we're to be baptized because in every passage in the Bible, in the New Testament, that mentions baptism and salvation, it is always baptism first, followed by salvation. For example, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, John did indeed baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance. Why? For the remission of sins. There was baptism first, followed by remission of sins. In the last chapter of Mark, he mentions this by saying in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So we must believe. That's really not that difficult to understand, is it? And so there's baptism first, and then there's our salvation that follows the act of being baptized as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ. And then you turn to John, the third chapter. And Jesus taught the man that we know as Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So as to be baptized in order to enter into the kingdom of God. So there's baptism, and the kingdom of God is equivalent to our salvation. That is going to heaven one day. And then you turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Acts. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. In verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So you had baptism first, followed by remission of sin. You turn to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So you have baptism first, followed by the washing away of sin. You don't have your sins washed away, and then you're to be baptized. You don't wash something that's already clean, do you? You wash something that's dirty. Suppose your little boy gets out in a mud puddle, and he comes in the house, and he's got mud from head to toe. Would you say, that's all right, son, you okay like you are? You want to get him cleaned up. And he needs to be washed to be clean. And we have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb to have our sins cleansed. We're to be baptized. Then there's the washing away of our sins. In every passage in the Bible where baptism and salvation are mentioned together, it's always baptism followed by salvation. And so another reason that we should be baptized is to obey the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, Paul explained the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins according to the gospel, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said, you're saved by the gospel. That's to the Corinthian church he writes that. But earlier in Acts chapter 18, we learn about how these people were converted to Christ. Look at Acts 18 verse 8. Many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. They heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, and then they were baptized. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we are to be baptized to obey the gospel. We're to be baptized to have our sins washed away. What washes away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:7, verse 5, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The cleansing agent to wash away sin is the blood of Jesus. But the question is, when does that blood wash away my sin? It's when I, as a penitent believer, a confessing believer in Jesus Christ, have been baptized. Let me read that passage again from Acts 22. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we're to be baptized to have our sins washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we are to be baptized to contact the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn to now to Romans, the 6th chapter. I want you to follow along with me very carefully. Notice verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Jesus shed his blood in his death. It is in baptism by faith that we come in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now verse 4, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. Someone says, well, Brother Lambert, there's just something I don't understand. I don't understand if what you're saying is right and you're reading it right there out of the Bible. I don't understand how a man going down into a pool of water and being immersed under that water and coming up out of that water could have anything to do with the washing away of his sins. You know, in the Old Testament, in the 12th chapter of Exodus, God's people were crying out for deliverance, and there were the plagues that came, and finally God was going to deliver them with a high hand. And they were commanded by Moses to go out and find a lamb a year old without blemish and take the blood of that animal and put it upon the lintel and the doorpost of their houses. And this is the promise God made. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And every home that had the blood on the door, their firstborn, a man and beast, did not die. Now let me ask you, why did the firstborn not die over there in the Old Testament? You say, well, because they did exactly what God told them to do. They told him to put the blood on the door. That, to me, is not a very logical thing to do, to put blood on the door. But every house that had blood on the door was spared the death of the firstborn. Now, I don't I may not be able to tell you every reason that we are to be baptized, but I can tell you this, that it's in order to come in contact with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. In His death, He shed His blood. When we are baptized into Christ, we are obeying a likeness of the death and the burial and His resurrection. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, "But God be thanked. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." Now that's what they had been in the past. They're not now. But you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Form of what doctrine? A form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he says, being then made free from sin. Made free from sin when? Then when? When they obeyed that form of doctrine. That's when they were made free from sin and they became the servants of righteousness. We are to be baptized to obey the gospel, to have our sins washed away, to contact the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be baptized to be put into Christ or to be in union with Christ. For example, in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 26 and 27, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. For, this is verse 27 now, as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Suppose I were to take off this jacket that I'm wearing and lay it aside, and I'm without my jacket. Now, suppose I pick it back up and I put it on. I'm in my jacket. And when we are baptized, we put Christ on. And we are in Christ. And we have all the access to all the spiritual blessings that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There are lots of people today that are not in Jesus. They're not in Christ. They're outside of Jesus Christ. But if we're talking about going to heaven, we need to understand that when we're baptized, it puts us into Jesus Christ, as opposed to being out of Jesus Christ. And then we are to be baptized to be added to the church. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, in verse 47, at the close of that great sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible there says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Those that were saved by obeying the gospel of Christ on the day of Pentecost, were added to the church. They were not voted on, no, because that's not man's choice. That's not man's purview to be able to vote people into the church. The Lord adds the saved to the church. And the same thing that will save you will give you membership in the church, will add you to the church. You don't do one thing to become saved and then something else to be a member of the church. The Lord adds you to the church, the time, the day, the moment you're saved, you're added to the church. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. And that one body, my friend, is the church. So there are many reasons that we could give, and there are others, of course, that we could give for the why a person should be baptized. But let's raise a question here. Who should be baptized? Well, those that are old enough. Those that are old enough to have sins for which they need to repent. Those that are old enough to believe the gospel, to understand and to believe the gospel. Those that are old enough to repent of their sins. Those who are old enough to confess their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that would eliminate baptizing a baby, wouldn't it? Because a baby cannot confess anything. It can, maybe it can babble and scream when they're trying to baptize him, but you don't baptize babies because they're not old enough to be able to confess their faith in Jesus Christ. And so you have to be old enough to obey the gospel. You need to be able to understand the gospel. We should believe in Christ, repent of our sins, confess our faith, and then we're to be immersed into Christ for the remission of our sins. Now, I know there are objections to this. So let's take a little time to think about some of those objections. One of the objections that I've heard over the years to teaching that baptism is essential to your salvation is I've been asked this question, but Brother Lambert, what about the thief on the cross? Do you think the thief was saved? And it might shock some of you for me to tell you that I certainly do. Because Jesus told that thief, today you'll be with me in my kingdom. And if he was where the Lord was, I believe the thief was all right, don't you? But I understand what people are trying to say, that if the thief was saved without being baptized, why can't we be saved without being baptized? Well, here is the reason. Now, I want you to look at my Bible, and I'm going to say that this in my left hand is the Old Testament. What I hold in my right hand is the New Testament. The thief lived and died under the Old Testament. And today we're living under the gospel found in the New Testament. And so we live by the gospel that's taught in the New Testament today. The thief was never subject to the gospel. You and I are. I'd urge you to be baptized. And if you desire baptism, you get in contact with us, and we'll arrange for you to be baptized into Christ. I want you to know that we're delighted you've watched today. Let me give you an invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also, right now, pick up the phone right now. Call for the free Bible correspondence course or take it online. It doesn't matter how you do it, just so long as you get to know the Bible. Isn't that right? So we want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach the temple.